And with us in the studio now, we have Dr. Declan Matthews here from Youghal, and he's going to talk to us about mental health, especially in young children. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning.
Good morning. And thank you so much for taking the time out. I'm sure there is a line above waiting for you this morning, but thank God there's nothing too serious that they can wait. You were on the paper there, you were talking about the mental health in young children. How serious is this issue?
This is an extremely serious issue. This is almost, and I'm reluctant to use the term, but it's almost a crisis.
Right.
We are talking about children from 8 to 16 with mental health problems. That's a lot of children. As I say, 10 years ago, this problem didn't exist. In the last year, I would roughly see maybe one child a month talking about self-harm.
That is scary. Like when I read there that you said about children as young as 8, to me, a child as young as 8 should be running around enjoying life, having absolutely no worries, only what they're going to play with next or what they're going to do. And that's a scary thought.
It is. It is an extremely scary thought. And there's no part of society is sort of immune to this. This could be anybody's children, your grandchildren,
yes.
My grandchildren, anybody's grandchildren out there, anybody's cousins, nieces, nephews. There's no part of society are immune. It's across the divide.
Across the divide. Would it be kind of, now for me, would it be social media? Would it be part of the problem of it? Are they too much on it? Are young children watching too much, too young?
As I say, it's very difficult to know.
Yes.
Because obviously social media 10 years ago wasn't half as
yes.
extensive as it is today. So it may have a part to blame. But in another way, I don't know if it matters sort of deciding what's causing it, because
right.
I still have to deal with the child sitting in front of me.
Yes.
Parents out there still have to deal with a child sitting in front of them.
Yes.
So looking back over the cause is nice to do in one way, but it doesn't help us deal with the immediacy of the situation.
Right. So it is more important to look after the child now.
Deal with the child now.
Which for you is difficult in that the services aren't there.
Yeah, the services are almost non-existent. Now, we're not talking about children with mild sort of behavioural problems. I'm not talking about school avoidance here. I'm not talking about temper tantrums. I'm talking about children with mental health issues. Moderate to severe mental health issues. And I have nowhere I can refer them. I can refer them to the CAM service. That's the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services in the East Cork area. I can refer them there, but I'm going to get a letter back saying, "Dear Dr. Matthews, thank you for your referral. We've looked at it, but in view of the fact that we don't have a consultant psychiatrist, we would suggest that you refer them on to Pieta House or Bernardo's or something like that."
Right.
Now, Pieta House is brilliant, absolutely, and I have great admiration for them. But they're a sort of an amateur organisation. They're
right.
They're not professionals. They're set up as a charity.
Yes.
It's nowhere for the HSE to be telling us to send people.
Yes. And I suppose the HSE are obviously not equipped, haven't got enough psychiatrists.
Exactly. And they haven't had a psychiatrist in the East Cork area for 2 to 3 years now. They have some very good psychologists and some very good social workers who I have great admiration for. They're working away without the cover of
yes.
a psychiatrist. So they're sort of flying on the skin of their teeth, if you know
yes.
what I mean, if
yes.
that's the
yes.
wrong expression. But they're working away, trying to do their best, but without consultant psychiatry cover. It's very, very difficult.
And why do you think there isn't a consultant psychiatry? Are they going abroad? Are they not?
Some are going abroad. Some, one or two took up the post but seemed to leave after about 6 months, which make you wonder what,
yes.
what the post was like. You
yes.
know? But I don't know. But they just seem to have difficulty recruiting. But this is a crisis. When we have a crisis in this country, we wait till the crisis blows up, then we throw millions and millions and millions at it, as with cervical check.
Mm.
I would just love if they would sort of look on this as a crisis now, and it won't cost them as much in the long term,
yes.
would deal with it as a crisis.
Yes, and I was just reading, which I thought was horrific when I was reading, the plan to cut outpatient waiting lists, and they mentioned all the different areas where there are waiting lists for, for ophthalmology, dermatology, orthopaedics. And there was no mention of mental health.
I know
because you were coming on, I noticed it myself. I said, there is no mention of mental health.
No. Child and adolescent mental health doesn't get a high profile. It should, because it's an absolute crisis. I grew up in an Ireland where sort of you went to school and you learned, suffer little children to come unto me.
Yes.
You know, we all know that
yes.
song.
Yes.
And now you look at it, little children who are suffering have nowhere to go. And
right.
that's not correct.
And for the parents, it's very difficult.
Absolutely.
If you have a child like that.
Yeah. Because if you have a child like that, as a parent, you want to do the best for your child.
You do, of course.
So you bring your child to the GP. The GP says, look, I'll do what I can for you, but the services aren't there.
Yes.
I'll do my best, and you try and do your best for the parent, and then the parent is left having done everything correctly, but the services just aren't there. That causes stress and mental issues for the parents.
For the parents as well. And of course, GPs are not trained psychiatrists. They can only do so much.
I'm trained in adult psychiatry.
Right.
Okay, but I'm not trained in child psychiatry. And most GPs aren't. Very, very few GPs would be. So we're sort of dealing with problems that we're not specifically trained to deal with. We're doing our best, but it's quite frightening and quite worrying at times.
Yeah, because you leave a child go, you know this child has a serious issue, you refer them, but you don't know what day they're going to do something because you know they're not getting the proper service.
Exactly. And children, and especially adolescents, are very unpredictable.
Yes.
So you can try and sort of decide, well, look, I feel this child isn't going to hurt themselves. But you can be wrong in that assessment.
Yes.
Because they can be so unpredictable that it's impossible. So they're the sort of ones we lose sleep at night over.
And I think, and you do lose sleep over them, and people forget that, like, that you're doing the best you can. But, like, I think teenagers are very vulnerable at the best of times. You know, young teenagers can be upset over things. These are teenagers that would have no mental health problems. They could be upset over something happening in school. There could be someone bullying. There could be someone doing this, you know. They might be quiet and not able to interact with the rest of them. But a child with mental health issues, that will exasperate all of these issues, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. And as I said before, these children, we sort of filter out the sort of psychological problems that can be dealt with locally through psychological services. But we're talking about children with moderate to severe mental health issues, usually children with the expressions of self-harm and that sort of problem.
Yes. And really, I mean, what happens to these children? What it will happen to them in the future if nothing is done?
It's frightening even to think about
Right.
I don't know how to answer that.
Yeah. Now, you said that children, young children up to 16 years are considered children. And then adults, children age?
Yeah, this is an absolute crazy situation. 17-year-old children with mental health issues have nowhere to go. Child and the CAM service will look after you until you're 16. The adult services will take you over when you're 18. So God help you when you're 17, because nobody wants to know about you.
That is terrible. I suppose our health system is crazy anyway.
Our health system is crazy anyway.
But, like, it is crazy anyway, and our government, I suppose they're all doing, I don't know what they're doing, I haven't much time for.
No, but, I mean, this is one of the reasons I came on here today. I think we will have local elections coming up soon.
Yes.
And we may, after Brexit, have sort of general elections. I think when a politician calls to your door,
that's what I was going to
you
ask
say
you,
to
yeah.
them, what are you doing about the child and adolescent mental health services in the East Cork area? Now, they'll come back at you and they'll say, oh, we're very concerned about this. I've talked to so-and-so about this. I've talked to so-and-so about this. But I want you to ask them, what exactly are you doing about it?
And I suppose if enough people ask them, they will have to do something about it.
That would be the hope.
You know,
you would think they have to. And most of these people are not unreasonable people. They have children themselves.
Yes.
So I think if it's brought to their attention how serious it is, they may do something about it.
They may do something about it. So that is really what we can do as ordinary individuals on the street. And I suppose it is to ask RTDs to do something about it.
Absolutely. And I mean, as I said, they will be coming looking for stuff off us soon. They'll be coming looking for votes off us soon. We need to be asking them, what are you doing about the CAM service?
And the CAM, thanks be to God, something I've never heard of before until now. The CAM, I heard of PA to House. But like, I suppose when people aren't affected by it, they forget that they could be affected by it in the next year, two, three. Please God, they won't. So, you know, it's up to us to get that mental health system working for the next generation.
Yes.
For, you know, for our children, our nieces and nephews, who seem perfectly okay now, but who knows what they'll be like in 2 or 3 years' time.
Absolutely. And as I said before, this can affect any family.
Yes. No one is immune to it.
No one is immune to this. So you ask that question in the hope that you'll get an answer, and in the hope that your own children or your own grandchildren or nieces or nephews will not be affected sometime in the future. But if they are, at least you've asked the question.
At least you've asked and you've done something about it. It's a scary thought, I have to say. You said our GPs are in the firing line. Now, GPs, it's not your fault. You're doing the best you can.
I know where GPs are on the firing line. That, you know, if I'm looking after a child who's got mental health issues, I can't refer them on anywhere. I'm dealing with them as best I can. If something happens to that child, God forbid if that child commits suicide, first thing that's going to happen is they're going to be on places, they're going to be on to you, they're going to be on to the Joe Duffy show and say, what was the doctor doing? Now, the doctor was doing everything the doctor could do, but people don't see that.
Yes, yes, the doctors are GPs, they're not psychiatrists.
We're not psychiatrists, we are trying to get services. And one of the things you get really, really sorry about, Anne, is sort of saying to people, I'm sorry I can't speed up your appointment. I'm sorry I can't get someone to see your child.
Yes, and that's very hard for you.
It's extremely hard for us. It's devastating at times.
It is really, because you're a doctor, you're there, your whole your vocation is to cure people.
Exactly, to try and help people the best we can.
You can.
And there are times when it just becomes so frustrating that you can't get anywhere, and you really do get fed up with that sort of.
So what you're saying to the people is,
what I'm saying,
we can do something.
Yes, I'm asking the people out there that when the politicians come around and come knocking on your door and say, can I have your vote in the next election, ask them, but what are you doing about the CAMHS service in the East Cork area?
Because there is nothing being done at the moment.
No.
The CAM service. Everyone, listen to that. Ask your GPs what has been done about the CAM service. Because it could be someone in your family. You know, it could, and that's scary, like,
It is scary.
I mean, we don't know, God forbid, cancer it affects every family, but no one really knows what it is until it hits their family.
Exactly.
And then you know all about it. So, you know, you could know it if waiting for a mental health issue to happen to your family, now is the time to work on it before it ever happens.
And remember, your child is far more likely to be infected by a mental health issue than cancer or something like that at that age group.
That is a scary thought. Anything else you'd like to add to that?
No, I think that's lovely. Thank you.
I'd like to thank you very much for coming in to talk to us today, and wish you every well. You're 30 years in Yall, you tell
30
me.
30 years in Yall, yeah.
30 years in Yall. You've raised a lot of children. You brought a lot of them on from babies up to adulthood, and you know, we wish you well in your continued career, and hopefully something will happen. And as we said, it's not just up to the GPs to do something about it. It's not just up to the parents of the mental health children with mental health problems. It's up to each of us to make our society a better society.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
Thank you very much for taking the time out. I know you're busy, and it's very nice to hear from you. Thank you very much, Doctor.
Thank you, Anne.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.